Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're going to be talking about a subject matter all of us have actually watched in motion. And what is that? Stunts. Have you ever wondered how in the world people were able to accomplish these phenomenal feats? How could they possibly have someone in a burning building and running out and they're all in flame? How do they survive that? Well, that and more we're going to be discussing with a gentleman, Steve Wolf. And I had the privilege of meeting him the last time I was in New York. And his book is absolutely an awesome read. It's called The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects. We're going to get it from the man that really lives this quite frequently. I don't know how he does it. I think it would be really, really tough, but Steve loves it. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Donna, thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Well, when we got you on the phone line, one of the first things I said to you was, my goodness, this is so cool for kids. This is just really great. We have had statements made about students in the United States, how they don't enjoy science, they're not really looking into math. And I thought all I'd have to do is have a class with you, and they would just be so addicted, you wouldn't be able to get rid of them. They'd be hanging on your coattails 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This
Kids are born scientists. You know, we're born curious about how the world works, and we want to know how it works so that we can control it and we can have some influence in the world.
Absolutely.
You know,
now,
we experiment with different sounds. We find out, hey, crying gets our parents. That's science.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kids are naturally curious, and I don't think that kids have changed that much in the last 20 or 30 years, you know, genetically. So if they're not enjoying science now, and they used to, then clearly there's something wrong about the way it's being taught in school.
And I agree with that.
What I've set out to do is to try and teach science the way I wish it had been taught to me.
And that is absolutely awesome. As an adult, I'm intrigued by this because there is so much that goes on in the movie industry, and you have some phenomenal photos here. You have a photo of a guy who's rehearsing a stunt. It's Spike Silver, in fact. He did a stunt for the Crocodile Dundee 2 movie. And you've got female stunt persons. And this is something that's really intriguing because these effects really have to be thought out. This isn't done because somebody says, gee, I think I'm going to set myself on fire this afternoon. Let's see how it works. No, it doesn't work that way. These are really carefully thought out and planned. How did you get into the stunt industry? I mean, this isn't something very many people participate in. How did you get started?
Donna, actually, I never got out of the stunt industry, so I never had to reemerge. Like any 5 or 6 year old boy, I was already a stunt person, and I just never left that line of work. Kids jumping their bikes off ramps, climbing up trees, jumping off roofs. These are natural things for particularly young men to do, and some girls as well. And so I just figured what better life could I have than to pursue the things I loved most as a child.
And so if we had someone listening to this that had a kid, said, wow, I'd love to be able to crash those cars or leap mountains in a flaming chariot, how did they do that? How do they get started into it? How did you evolve into it? And what's the industry like today?
The industry is very interesting. Networks, programmers, and producers are still all competing for the attention and the dollars of viewers. And the stakes are getting higher and higher for entertainment. So there's a great deal of demand for interesting visual stunts and special effects. And as you said, not anyone should just go out and set themselves on fire. There's a big difference between a daredevil and a stunt person. Mm-hmm. A daredevil does something dangerous, and they're not quite sure how it's going to turn out, and very often they're not thinking about that part of the equation. A stunt person or a special effects coordinator is a scientist. We use the scientific method to create a visual result, and we use science to get there. So stunt and special effects work is really the art of safely using science to create the illusion of danger, not danger itself. And we use physics and chemistry and math and engineering to figure out how we're going to create things that people will find fascinating to watch.
There was a film you did with Tom Cruise, and yes. You make a comment when you were talking about the film that a lot of movie stars are paid just tremendous amounts of money. And he said, you say in here, if kids were made aware that you could make that much money doing this work, you wouldn't bow out. You'd show up. This is something that you want to do. And
absolutely.
I think part of what comes across in your book is the fact that the people that are participating in this industry, in the stunt segment of the industry, they're very dedicated professionals. If there were a young person that wanted to apprentice to someone, are there apprentice programs through colleges? What type of education would you recommend that someone pursue if they wanted to be a part of this industry?
I would start at finishing school and making sure that your manners were impeccable. Because politeness is the most important thing I look for when I'm hiring or selecting interns. And in fact, I have an entire list in the book of attributes that I look for. And science skills actually is not on the list, but things like pleasant, persistent, polite, prompt, punctual, all of the attributes that for success start with the letter P.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest, I can teach. I can teach somebody the physics and the chemistry and the engineering aspects, but I'm not taking on the job of raising people. So I think that's a really great starting point, and those skills work no matter what your career aspirations may be. From then, for specifically getting work in the industry, you find somebody who does what you want to do, and you find a way to stand next to them.
Mm-hmm.
When I was interested in learning this, I watched credits of movies, and I saw and wrote down the names of the people who did the special effects, and then I looked them up and found one who was geographically near me and called up Dr. Gary Zeller, and I said, Gary, I am Steve Wolf, and starting as soon as you'll have me, I'd like to be your new coffee boy. I'm not asking for a salary, just the opportunity to learn from you and hopefully to contribute to your organization.
Wow.
And he accepted that offer, and within 2 weeks, I was on payroll, and within a year, we had formed a company together, and I'd figured out some ways for him to make more money. And it went from there. And then Gary got to the point where he realized that a lot of science and a lot of energy and a lot of money were being used to make fundamentally stupid movies. The way they're made is interesting, but the content in many cases is worthless. So he became less and less intrigued with film work and moved on to other projects. One day Paramount called, and they wanted to do a movie called The Firm, and they were looking for a special effects coordinator. And Gary said, you know what to do. You've been with me 3 years. Take over that part of the business.
Wow.
And so off I went, my first real job in the industry working on a Tom Cruise movie. So that's a good resume builder, and a lot of great projects fell in place since then. But it was very much a case of, making your own luck.
That's true, being ready. You had served as an apprentice. You had linked up with someone that really was happy to teach you and you were learning so many things on your own, had new ideas, and then he said, go through the door. I'm not interested. I don't want to do that anymore. You take it. And that was preparation. You had prepared yourself to step in to opportunity when it knocked on your door, and I think that that is a very, very significant lesson. Now, there was something that you talked about that movie, The Firm, and I was really intrigued with this. There were scene segments where you had to be in a smoky restaurant. Now,
yes,
all of this had to be done so there really wasn't smoke. The illusion had to be produced without having any detrimental effects on anybody's health by bringing it, you know, breathing in smoke. So this was fascinating. Tell us how you were able to create that illusion. Anybody that ever watches the movie The Firm now will look for this.
Right,
and they'll know how it was done.
Virtually any other movie that has smoke or diffused light or somebody walking through the woods and it's misty or somebody rowing a boat out on a foggy lake. This is a field of special effects that's called atmospherics. Atmospherics is where we're called upon to recreate any effect that would normally be done by the atmosphere. So that would include smoke, fog, mist, rain, hail, forest fire, snow, wind. And these are all things that we can make on demand. And they're based on very, very simple chemistry or physics. One of the physical attributes that we learn about the world is that matter comes in different flavors, and we learn this, you know, by second grade. On Earth, most things are either a solid or a liquid or a gas, which is good that we're not living on a plasma planet, or we'd need much thicker shoes. But what a smoke machine does, which is the machine that we use when we want to create a smoky look, it simply adds heat to a liquid to turn the liquid into a gas. So we're just driving that matter from one state of matter to the next. And because we're able to use safe liquids, we can create gases that are safe to breathe, where if we were actually burning things to make the smoke, it would be full of a lot of toxic elements. So very simple, essentially second grade science used to create a very interesting effect. And really, it's very rare that I have to call on anything beyond fifth or sixth grade science in order to solve the technical challenges of movie making.
Amazing. Now, there is the most phenomenal photograph in your book that has a full-size burning house, and this was done for the program America's Most Wanted. I mean, this is a tremendously dramatic fire. I mean, this is something that brings back memories when I was watching an apartment house that was next door to us when I was growing up that just was engulfed in flames. And it just is a tremendously powerful experience to go through and rather overwhelming. This burning house, how were you able to control it? Because this isn't something that's done at random. This is all planned out very carefully. How do you do it so that you're able to contain that fire within a certain environment? Do you use miniaturization? What do you do?
That was actually a full-scale house. It's built out of non-flammable materials. And rather than lumber burning and timbers and studs and flooring and walls burning, which would produce a lot of toxic gas, what's actually burning there is propane that's being plumbed into the home from 8 100-pound propane tanks. And the most significant difference between that house fire and any other one is that we can turn that fire off and go to lunch, come back an hour later and turn the fire back on. And
wow,
that's a huge advantage. The fact that we're not making a lot of pollution is another advantage. But mm-hmm. The big reason that we do this is because it gives the director creative control over what you see on camera. It allows them to say, you know, I want a little more fire coming out of this window, and I want a little less fire coming off that side of the roof, and I want a little bit more white smoke coming out the left and black smoke coming out the right, and we can control, you know, exactly what the director sees so that they can help fulfill an author's vision.
Wow. These are things that when we're looking at a film, if it's done well, which I know your work is just absolutely a plus, but when it's done well, it absolutely captivates the viewer's attention. And you made a comment at the beginning when we started talking about how the bar is being put higher and higher and higher for special effects. And there are so many things that are done via computer. This, though, with stunts, is never really going to disappear, is it?
No, I don't think it will. For one thing, it's just faster and cheaper to do a lot of these things live action. If we wanted to burn down that house or blow up a structure, you know, blow up a car in computer-generated imagery, which is referred to as CGI, we'd have to make wireframe drawings and then skin them and then figure out how to program in the motion that we want. And then as the item fragments, we'd have to plan what the trajectory of each part of the car was as it separated and then render it on a series of computers, which is very time-consuming and expensive. And in the time that it takes the director to describe to a CGI technician what it is that he or she wants to see, I could have blown up 20 cars in real life.
Wow.
They would take their pick of the footage that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more efficient. It's obviously absolutely realistic. And I think economy is really, you know, what's going to drive things in one direction or another. So as long as this way is cheaper and realistic, I think it'll be dominant.
You do some fun things with kids because you and some of your associates travel all over the country going to different schools, teaching kids about safety, but also how they can be involved in this industry and how you encourage them in science and in math to really realize how valuable this is. And I have to chuckle because in your book, you have a little girl who's in the second grade, and she is hoisting her principal up in the air using pulleys.
Yes.
Now, most of us don't give very much thought to that. But this little girl, who's, my goodness, she might weigh 45 pounds, if that.
Yes.
And her principal is a lot heavier than that. He must be at least, well, I would guesstimate about 215 to 220.
Yes.
And I'm talking 220 pounds, folks, something like that. I could be a little bit over. But here he is, and she's doing it with one hand.
Yep, she's picking him up with one hand.
That's
and
right, one hand.
she's using a simple mechanical advantage through a simple machine. You know, there's six simple machines. We have levers and ramps and screws and wheels and axles, and we've got pulleys. And when I was in fourth grade, my teacher attempted to teach pulleys to me by drawing some circles on a blackboard with chalk and then connecting them with lines, and then deduced from her drawing that this was proof that using pulleys you could lift things that were heavier than you are. And all that I took away from the lesson is that this woman knows how to use chalk, but not really anything about pulleys. But I was intrigued by what she said, that pulleys could let you lift things that were heavier than you are. And that day I went home and I busted open my piggy bank and I went down to the hardware store and I bought pulleys and rope and I set them up just the way she had them in her drawing using a big branch in my backyard. And then I ran in my house looking for something very heavy to lift. And the first thing I found was my mom. And I explained to her what the proposed experiment was. And she was very supportive. She came outside, and she put on a harness, and she let me pull her up into the air. And within 2 or 3 minutes, there was a woman screaming in the air and a little boy laughing his head off on the ground, holding her up with one hand. And
yeah.
I had so much fun with that, such simple science, but so entertaining, that I've essentially been working with pulleys pretty much every day since then. Whether I'm working on a movie, you know, like Spider-Man or Superman, where we're getting an actor to fly or we're flying a vehicle, we're using pulleys, ropes, and cables all the time. So very, very simple technology, thousands of years old, and it's still fundamental, not only to engineering, but to film work.
So, it's just marvelous.
And so knowing how exciting these things could be compared to how they were presented to students, I thought was just an egregious gap. And 20 years ago, I set out to try and bridge that gap by showing kids how exciting science could be, because I really believe very strongly that a kid's love of science, or children in general's love of science, is an essential quality for this nation to possess if we're going to, I can't even say maintain, but regain any type of competitive edge on the international front. You know, mm-hmm. Our economy depends on innovation, and innovation depends on science. So having watched a man walk on the moon when I was 5 years old, and then, you know, hearing reports on TV that we no longer ranked even in the top 20 in science education among first world countries, I was just very, very saddened by that. And I thought, there's got to be something that we can do about this. The solution's not going to come from inside the school system, where no one wants to lose their job because their methods don't work, unfortunately. So I thought, you know, let's start something new and innovative. Let's start with something all kids love. Everybody, you know, kids love to watch movies and TV shows, and take their interest in that kind of stunty stuff and channel that interest into the study of science. So I started a program called Science in the Movies, and it's a live show. It's presented in the school, right there in front of the kids, where we perform half a dozen movie stunts and special effects, and we reveal the science and the safety that goes into creating them. And the program is designed such that at the end of an hour, we have quite thoroughly touched on all of the physical science that a student's likely to need to know to be successful in their academic science career. We cover, you know, states of matter, electric circuits, pressure, force, vectors, energy, chemical reactions, and all the safety things that are related to those science concepts. So it's been very, very effective. Schools that have hosted the program are averaging 30% higher scores in the physical science portions of their standardized tests. And the teachers don't have to work so hard because the kids are motivated.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you have a motivated kid, the teacher can then redirect their efforts to the students who need the most help, because the motivated kid is going to go out in the world and learn on their own. They're going to hit up Google. They're going to go to the library. They're going to talk to scientists. And that'll leave more time for the teachers to work with kids who need the one-on-one. And these kids will conduct their own education, which is really the best kind.
I agree. You also bring out the essence of teamwork and safety. And this is something that is exceedingly important. And I know that you and your team are very dedicated to making this the number one priority. And you check each other. Nobody has an ego trip here. It's like safety first. You check what I've done. I'll check what you've done. Let's make sure everybody's on the same page and we've got everything prepared in the right way. That understanding of teamwork, I think, is great to pass along to kids, too, because no one ever does everything entirely all by themselves. We all have to integrate on one level or another with others. And when you can have that kind of teamwork, your success level is going to be so much more effective. And you're going to have such a positive result from that.
And the reach of what you can accomplish collaboratively far exceeds what you can do individually. I can't imagine that Steve Jobs could have invented iPhones all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
In most successful organizations, there's a visionary who, you know, has a picture of where they want to go with something, and then they surround themselves with a team of people who can make that a reality. And the same here. You know, we start with an image that an author created, and then that image is entrusted to a director, and then the director turns to a staff of 250 film professionals to create that image in the real world so that we can point cameras and microphones at it. And in this way, we're able to take something that started as somebody's fantasy and turn it into an image or an experience that can be shared by millions of people. So it's a very interesting collaborative process. And this is why I say that that people skills are really the most important thing. Because we have to collaborate and we have to enjoy each other's collaboration. Despite being paid very well for working in film, you know, there's no amount of money that's worth a long, terrible experience. And if there's people you genuinely don't enjoy working with, ultimately it's not worth the money.
Absolutely.
People, at the end of the day, want to have fun. They want to enjoy the people they work with. They want to feel like their work is meaningful. And, these are the things that make life rich. So,
this course, I know that you have got a website, scienceinthemovies.com. And your book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects, is just a fascinating read, and I love the photographs. You've got buku of photographs, all kinds of things that are there for anyone who wants to know a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes, really should be aware of. But scienceinthemovies.com, when people go there, what are they going to find, Steve? What is it that someone can expect to experience when they're on that website?
They could see what happens when a stunt guy tries to build his own website. They would find a pretty easy way to order my book, which I will hand autograph, made out to whoever you'd like it made out to as a seasonal gift. And if they live nearby me, I may hand deliver it. And then they would also find information about the Science in the Movies program that we bring to schools and that we also feature as a keynote presentation for teachers to help teachers learn how to teach in a more exciting and effective method. So
well,
they can get the
I
book,
think
the school
that's
program.
Great.
Yeah.
I just think it's great. Looking at the photos in your book of someone going through tempered glass, which shatters into non-injurious materials, you see all of these dramatic scenes in the movies, and you go, how in the world do they survive? Well, your book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects, really gives you the inside track. And more than that, it makes you aware how much science has been necessary for the development of the movie industry so that these phenomenal special effects can be produced. And it's just absolutely amazing to me. And yes, it is perhaps using very simple techniques of science, but the application of safety and putting everything into its right positioning, it's just absolutely amazing. And Steve, this book is just incredible. And for those of you who are listening, check out the website, scienceinthemovies.com. He's told you how he'll be happy to send you an autographed copy. If you know of any young people that are having trouble in school, maybe they find math and science boring, hey, get them this book. They are absolutely going to be enthralled by it, and you can share it with them. Makes a wonderful gift. Steve, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me today. I think you've done an incredible job with this publication, and I know you're going to have continuing success with your programs in the schools. Kids would just absolutely love this.
Thank you so much, Don. I really appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit with you and to discuss how important science education is and hopefully to encourage other people to tackle the science issue and come up with new and original ways to improve on the way science education is being done. But I appreciate your sentiment that this is a good step in the right direction.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's been a delight. Check out his site. It's fascinating. The book is too. Scienceinthemovies.com. And again, the book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects. Steve Wolf has been my guest today. This is Donna Siebel. We are taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like to give me a buzz, do so. Call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And relax. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that might be of interest to you. I just absolutely find it intriguing to have people like Steve Wolf on who are involved in an industry that we all have been touched by, and to find out about how they create this phenomenal magic, sometimes now even today in a 3D momentum that is just marvelous. And you go and you think, wow, they make it look so easy. There's a lot of planning, a lot of work that goes into it. Again, give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Well, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Toto. Yes, remember the Wizard of Oz? Well, we're going to be talking about Toto, the Wizard of Oz as a spiritual adventure. Nathan Castle is going to be my guest. This is a beautiful book. So I think you're going to enjoy it. And then, ladies, we're going to find out about the history of makeup. It is centuries, centuries old, and we're going to be traveling through the realms of time to find out what people used, men and women both. That's right. A lot of cultures, the men were even more ornate in their application of makeup. We're going to find out what it was made of, etc. This is a phenomenal piece of history. Gabriela Hernandez is going to be my guest on Friday. So we've got a very interesting lineup. And I know we're coming into the big D, December, yes, when the ho-ho-hos are going to become more and more prominent in life. And by golly, I've got a wonderful lineup of guests for the month, and you're going to find out about them. They'll all be posted by tomorrow here on BBS, so you'll know what is coming up. And again, telephone lines are open right now, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you this fun story, and it's about fairies. Oh, I know, we've all heard stories about fairies, and as children we were engrossed with stories that told us about these magical little people. Well, on April 30th, 1973, a little girl by the name of Mary Treadgold was in a bus, and she was looking out of the window of the bus she was riding on. And she saw this little tiny figure, little itsy-bitsy person, standing in among some heather. Now, the bus pulled over to let a car go by, and Mary spied a figure that was about 18 inches tall. There was a young man. He had his foot on a shovel and a sack at his side, and he was just frozen in his position. Nothing was moving. She said he had a thin face, curly brown hair, and he was dressed in bright blue overalls and a white shirt with rolled-up sleeves. She said, I do recollect in the brightness of his hair, his clothes, and his general appearance. It was just like it was radiating energy, and he was so alert. Well, there's other stories. In County Limerick in Ireland, and of course the little people have been known there for thousands of years, in 1938, there was a boy. He was on his way to school. He was standing at a crossroad. His name was John Keeley. And he saw what he called a fairy walking by. John spoke with this little fairy, asked where he'd come from, and the fairy replied, I'm from the mountains, and it's all equal to you what my business is. Next day, John standing on his way to school, same place, he saw two of these fairies. And he said these little persons were 2 feet tall, and they were wearing red clothes, and one of the fairies had a white cape. Well, John began to walk with them, but the fairies, they liked him, but they were concerned that some people were hiding in hedges, and they began to run away. Well, they started running, and people started chasing. They went through hedges, ditches, even marshes. They never got dirty. They just seemed to move like lightning. And then there's another story about in the year 1919. This is in Barron, Wisconsin. There was a 13-year-old boy. His name was Harry Anderson. And he was riding in a car, and the car ran out of gas. He was sent to a farm to get some more. And when he was coming back from the farm, he saw 20 little men trooping single file down the road towards him. He said every one of these men had bald heads. They had leather braces and knickers, and they walked by, ignoring the boy as they walked by, and they were mumbling. Fantasies? Makes you wonder. Sometimes some people see things the rest of us can't. Fairies? Elves? Leprechauns? They've been around. The stories have been around for a long, long time. But these are stories that were documented. And the article was titled Roadside Fairies. So you never know what you're going to find or what you might experience. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then I'm off and running. Do you want to make your success in life, whatever your choice is for personal accomplishment? Every one of us has our own desire, our own particular aspirations. Well, Stacy Wickstein says we really need to be aware that we have to take charge of ourselves. And if you're sort of on a treadmill of disharmony, dissatisfaction, you feel your life is boring, you wonder if this is all that life is all about, well, maybe it's about time you sort of take charge of your mind and your feelings and say, wait a minute, I'm feeling this stuff, but what am I doing about it? One of the biggest things we need to remember is that we need to take care of ourselves as individuals. And if you're like me and you feel like you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger and you've always got something going, there's always something that has to be done, someone in the family has to be taken care of, errands to be run, bills to be paid, people to talk to, things to do, and buzz, 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 buzz. Sound familiar? We all are extremely busy. But too often what we forget is that we have to take care of ourselves. We need to remember that this chassis that we occupy has to be nourished. So one of the things that Stacy feels is extremely important is that we really need to look at the foods that we utilize to energize our body. We really have to ask ourselves what is going to do the best job for this physical vehicle that I have. And one of the things we forget many times is hydration. We need to remember that if we're very active, if we've got a really busy schedule, remember to have water. Remember to just be aware of yourself. Don't beat your body up. I've done things like that through my years, and I'll tell you there's been many times that I've paid a physical price, and I know of many people I've been talking to recently that have gone through the same thing. They've developed stomach disorders, all kinds of stuff, and they go, I just don't understand. Well, when we sit down and we start talking about the way they've lived their life, the foods that they've been eating, their emotional state, the stress that they're experiencing, all of these things have an impact on the body. So it's something we need to pay attention to. But Stacy had a comment that I thought was really a powerful one, and I want to share it with you. Many people spend the majority of their lives living in their minds. Now, let me repeat this. Many people spend a majority of their lives living in their minds. When you are present with where you are, you're not going to be out there fantasizing all the time. You're going to be enjoying the moment of where you are. You're going to be attentive to what you're doing, to what is going on. And that is so very important. Living in the now is absolutely the only thing you can do at any time. There are a lot of people that live so much in their mind that they never get up off their duff and do anything. They're doing all the visualization, they're using their imagination, and they're doing that. But you've got to move. You have to put an action out. You need to have something, as Ernest Holmes used to say, move, treat, visualize, do whatever you want to do for what it is you aspire for, and then get out and move your feet. You've got to move. You've got to be active. I have a story that I just love to share with people relative to this. It was about a teenager that came to me for a counseling session, and this young woman was just absolutely stressed to the max. Now, I looked at this young woman. She was very intelligent. She was an A-plus student in school, and the more she told me about herself, I had nothing but admiration for her. She was a hard worker, but she was miserable, and I found out why. Her mother that she lived with was a good person, but she was a lazy person. Her mother would sit in a rocking chair in the home, and she loved principles of positive affirmations, and she would sit in that rocking chair doing positive affirmations. Now, this young lady was about 14, 15 years of age. One day she comes home from school, and her mother hadn't done the dishes. Her mother hadn't done anything in the house, and she said, Mom, why haven't you done anything? Oh, well, we're going to be provided for. Mom, we are on welfare. Nobody's going to provide anything for us unless we work for ourselves. She said, Mom, even I'm willing to go get a job. Her mother said, dear, we'll be provided for, we'll be provided for. And she said she got so tired of it, and then she blew up at her mother, and she was very upset with herself. She said, I just don't understand this. Well, we had a long conversation, and I encouraged her to use her mother as an example of what she didn't want to do, that you have to have action to go along with your aspirations. Otherwise, you're never going to see the results that you desire. You're going to need to put the effort out. It's not going to be handed to you on a silver platter. This young lady, by the time we finished talking, had a whole different attitude. And I said, your mother is of a mindset. You can't change that. But use her as leverage to show you where you want to go and what you want to do. And she went off feeling a lot better about herself and recognizing that her mother had a right to be as unproductive as she wanted to be, but she didn't have a right to expect that she was going to take care of everything so that her mother could continue to do nothing. But she could prepare herself for her own independent lifestyle and really have a very rich and full life. It's perspective. If you live too much in your mind, you're not going to be out doing in life what you need to do. So those are a couple of points that I think are good ones. And also, don't forget to ask for help. We all have to have help. Just like my guest today said, nobody gets along in this world without developing relationships in life that make our world something that is going to grow and expand and develop. And we all do it by contributing the best of what we have and, you might say, setting the bar, not just for ourselves, but also being an example for other people. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Don't forget you can give me a buzz at 888 888- 627-6008. 800-800-8. We're going to be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, are you, like so many of us, putting up your holiday decorations and really trying to make sure that everything is in its proper place? Well, I, like you, have had to drag out all kinds of things, and the decorations are going up because the holidays are just absolutely magical. And it's been fun walking around the neighborhood with my little Scotty Victor and seeing all of the different ideas and concepts that people like to bring out. This is a holiday season that people just absolutely love participating in. So red and white candy canes are lining walkways, and one guy's putting a Santa sleigh up on his roof, and there's just all kinds of things. It's so much fun to watch the neighborhood come to life. Well, I came across some good suggestions for the holiday season, and for those of you, for example, that have cats, or maybe you have young dogs that are around, or maybe you've got a ferret, perhaps a parrot, you may want to do what someone suggested that I found out about and really thought it was a good idea. If you're going to put your Christmas tree up, because cats are notorious, they just love to jump into things, anchor a Christmas tree in a corner, and you can take a piece of wire and actually anchor it into the wall. So if one of your critters happens to want to run up and down the tree until they get used to it being there, it's not going to knock it over. And it will anchor it so that it will be in a very solid, stable positioning. So I thought that you can screw, you can clamp it, put it into place, and this is really going to enable you to enjoy this tree. And if you leave it up for a couple of days, after a while, the animals won't bother it. But when you start decorating, they will. So you just have to be thoughtful about what you put on the tree. Don't put tinsel on, especially if you have animals in the house, because cats are notorious for just chewing on anything and everything. And little creepy crawlers like ferrets and some other critters, birds, love the shiny stuff, and so they'll go after it. And if they ingest it, you're going to have to take them to the vet. So that's just something you leave alone. But there are things that you can put on that would not hurt them if they like to play with them. But you need to be sure that you really have a good stand. You want to make sure that the tree is extremely stable. And there's a number of good ones out there. And again, as I said, if you anchor it, you can use a fishing line that nobody's going to see. And you could, some people have even used hooks in their ceilings where they have a hook. Most people don't even notice it. They put it up in the ceiling and they're able to use the fishing line to anchor the tree in such a way so that it's not going to be thrown off balance for any reason. But it's just a wonderful time of the year. So those are just a couple of tips for you that I thought I would share. Donna Siebel here. I want to mention also this Saturday is the day that I am going to be appearing in Seattle. For those of you in the Seattle, Washington area, there is an open house with a wonderful group called the Ascension Foundation. They are opening up their brand new facility. They have got an all-day event. It starts at 10 in the morning, will end about 5 in the evening. Then they are going to have a short break. And then starting at 6, there's hors d'oeuvres, refreshments, and there is going to be a very special evening event. And this is going to be at 1222 South Weller Street. And if you want more information, give them a call at 206-356-6356. And you'll find out about all the things. But I'm going to be giving the opening talk, Power Mind, and then I'll be available all day for doing many consultations. Then on the 10th, I'm going to be appearing at the Dickens Festival. I've been appearing with this group for a good 5 years. This is a wonderful community event. It's fabulous for the family. The Dickens Festival is going to be up for a number of days, but I will be there on the 10th at King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma, and my newsletter, when it goes out, will have all of the information about that and part of the funds that are collected from the many readings that I will be available for. Then that's going to go towards the charity that's being sponsored by the festival itself. Every year they pick a charity that they wish to support, and then part of the monies from the merchants and other participants goes in to that collection. So it is really a wonderful event. And then on the 17th, for those of you in Oregon, I am going to be in Portland doing an appearance on the 17th, and I'll be giving you more information about that as well. So the month of December is going to be a power-packed month, and I am going to be on the road. So it is something that I'm really looking forward to, and I would love to meet you. So if you have a chance to come out to any of those events, do so, and just stop by and say hello. An office of your own. Well, if you would like to have something that is unique, you can get a prefabricated garden office Archipod. Now, you can go to archipod.com. This is absolutely amazing. I've got a photo of this in front of me, and it, in a way, reminds me of the geodesic dome concept. But you know what? This is an energy-efficient workspace. You can put it in your backyard. It's ready for you to put a computer into it. It's a cedar-shingled polycarbonate dome, and it's made in England. Yes, this is a marvelous idea, and it's just a fascinating concept. And prefab is not new. It's been around for a long time. The people are wanting to have things that can be purchased that they can put up and put together really easily if they want separate space. And I'm just fascinated with this. You don't have to pay for an architect. You don't have cost overruns. You don't have remodeling to have to deal with. And it's just an absolutely fascinating building. I love the innovation of people. You never know what someone's going to come up with that will enable us to have more of the lifestyle that we would like to enjoy. Look at how the internet has changed the lives for just about everybody. And it's around the world. It is not something that's just in one little spot. And look at the shifts that are evolving with incredible speed because of it. Absolutely amazing. Well, look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. We're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Innovation, curiosity, don't be afraid to learn new things. Be aware that you really, really have a lot more choice about your life and what you do than you could possibly imagine. Freedom is something we have to earn, but we have to also learn that to be able to respect and enjoy freedom, we also have to develop the capacity for thinking, analyzing, and working through the challenges that life always is going to be presenting to us in one form or another. You're up to it. I know you are. So share your genius, share your life in a positive way with positive people that, like you, want to make this world a better place. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.